The master suite is on the other hallway. There's a laundry room, an unfinished basement, and a two-car garage. Mama says we'll get a basketball hoop on wheels. We can keep it in the garage, roll it in front of the house, and play in the cul-de-sac sometimes. A wooden fence surrounds the backyard, and there's plenty of space for Daddy's garden and bricks. Bricks can come out here, right? I ask. Of course. We aren't going to leave him. Daddy brings burgers and fries, and we eat on the kitchen floor. It's super quiet out here. Dogs bark sometimes, but wall-rattling music and gunshots? Not happening. So, we're going to close in the next few weeks or so, Mama says. But since it's the end of the school year, we'll wait until you guys are out for summer to move.
'Cause moving ain't no joke, Daddy adds.
Hopefully we can get settled in before you go off to college, Seven, Mama says. Plus, it gives you a chance to make your room yours, so you can have it for holidays and the summer. Sikani slurps his milkshake and says with a mouthful of froth, Seven said he's not going to college.
Daddy says, What?
Seven glares at Sikani.
I didn't say I wasn't going to college. I said I wasn't going away to college. I'm going to Central Community, so I can be around for Kenya and Lyric.
Oh, hell no, Daddy says.
You can't be serious, says Mama. Central Community is the junior college on the edge of Garden Heights. Some people call it Garden Heights High 2.0, because so many people from Garden High go there and take the same drama and bullshit with them.
They have engineering classes, Seven argues.
But they don't have the same opportunities as those schools you applied to, Mama says. Do you realize what you're passing up? Scholarships, internships. The chance for me to finally have a Seven-free life, I add, and slurp my milkshake.
Who asked you? Seven says.
Yo mama. Low blow, I know, but that response comes naturally. Seven flicks a fry at me, I block it, and come this close to flipping him off, but Mama says, You bet not. And I lower my finger.
Look, you're not responsible for your sisters, Daddy says, but I'm responsible for you. And I ain't letting you pass up opportunities so you can do what two grown-ass people supposed to do.
A dollar, Daddy, Sikani points out.
I love that you look out for Kenya and Lyric,
Daddy tells Seven.
But there's only so much you can do. You can choose whatever college you want, and you'll be successful. But you choose because that's where you want to be, not because you're trying to do somebody else's job. You hear me?
Yeah, Seven says. Daddy hooks his arm around Seven's neck and pulls him closer. Daddy kisses his temple.
I love you. And I always got your back.
After lunch, we gather in the living room, join hands, and bow our heads.
Black Jesus, thank you for this blessing,
Daddy says.
Even when we weren't so crazy about the idea of moving,
Mama clears her throat.
Okay, when I wasn't so crazy about the idea of moving,
Daddy corrects,
you worked things out. Thank you for Lisa's new job. Please help her and continue to be with her when she does extra shifts at the clinic. Help Sikani with his end-of-the-year tests. And thank you, Lord, for helping Seven do something I didn't, get a high school diploma. Guide him as he chooses a college and let him know you're protecting Kenya and Lyric. Now, Lord, tomorrow is a big day for my baby girl as she goes before this grand jury. Please give her peace and courage. As much as I want to ask you to work this case out a certain way, I know you already got a plan. I ask for some mercy, God. That's all. Mercy for Garden Heights, for Khalil's family, for Star. Help all of us through this. In your precious name.
Wait, Mama says. I peek out with one eye. Daddy does too. Mama never, ever interrupts prayer.
Baby,
says Daddy.
I was finishing up.
I have something to add. Lord, bless my mom, and thank you that she went into her retirement fund and gave us the money for the down payment. Help us turn the basement into a suite so she can stay here sometimes.
No, Lord, Daddy says.
Yes, Lord, says Mama.
No, Lord.
Yes.
No, amen.
We get home in time to catch a playoffs game. Basketball season equals war in our house. I'm a LeBron fan through and through. Miami, Cleveland, it doesn't matter. I ride with him. Daddy hasn't jumped off the Lakers ship yet, but he likes LeBron. Seven's all about the Spurs. Mama's an anybody but LeBron hater, and Sakani is a whoever is winning fan. It's Cleveland versus Chicago tonight. The battle lines are drawn. Me and Daddy versus Seven and Mama. Seven jumps on that anybody but LeBron bandwagon of hateration, too. I change into my LeBron jersey. Every time I don't wear it, his team loses. Seriously, I'm not even lying. I can't wash it either. Mama washed my last jersey right before finals, and Miami lost to the Spurs. I think she did it on purpose. I take my lucky spot in the den in front of the sectional. Seven comes in and steps over me, putting his big bare foot near my face. I smack it away. Get your crusty foot out of my face.
We'll see who's joking later. Ready for a butt whooping?
You mean, am I ready to give one? Yup. Mama peeks around the doorway. Munch, you want some ice cream? I gape at her. She knows I don't eat dairy products during games. Dairy gives me gas, and gas is bad luck. She grins. How about a sundae? Sprinkles, strawberry syrup, whipped cream. I cover my ears. La 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 la. Go away, LeBron hater. La 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 la. Like I said, basketball season equals war, and my family has the dirtiest tactics. Mama returns with a big bowl, shoveling ice cream into her mouth. She sits on the sectional and lowers her bowl into my face. You sure you don't want some, Munch? It's your favorite, too. Cake batter. So good. Be strong, I tell myself. But damn, that ice cream looks good. Strawberry syrup glistens on it and a big dollop of whipped cream sits pretty on top. I close my eyes. I want a championship more. Well, you aren't getting that, so you may as well enjoy some ice cream.
Ha! Seven goes. What's all this smack up in here?
Daddy asks. He takes the recliner on the sectional, his lucky spot. Sakani scurries in and sits behind me, propping his bare feet on my shoulders. I don't mind. They haven't matured and funkified yet. I was offering Munch some of my sundae, Mama says. You want some, baby?
Heck no. You know I don't eat dairy during games.
See? It's serious.
You and Seven may as well get ready for this butt-whooping Cleveland about to give y'all, says Daddy. I mean, it ain't gonna be a Kobe butt-whooping, but it's gonna be a good one.
Amen, I say, except the Kobe part. Boy, bye, Mama tells him. You're always picking sorry teams. First, the Lakers.
Hey, a three-peat ain't a sorry team, baby. And I don't always pick sorry teams.
He grins.
I picked your team, didn't I?
Mama rolls her eyes, but she's grinning too. And I hate to admit it, but they're kind of cute right now. Yeah, she says. That's the only time you picked right.
Daddy says. See, your mama played for St. Mary's basketball team, and they had a game against Garden High, my school.
And we whooped their butts, too, Mama says, licking ice cream off her spoon. Them little girls ain't have anything on us, I'm just saying.
Anyway, I'm there to watch some of the homeboys play after the girls' game,
Daddy says, looking at Mama. This is so adorable, I can't stand it.
I got there early and saw the finest girl ever, and she was playing her ass off on the court.
Tell them what you did, says Mama, although we know.
Hey, I was trying to.
Nah, tell them what you did, she says.
I tried to get your attention.
Uh-uh, Mama says, getting up. She hands me her bowl and stands in front of the TV. You were like this on the sideline, she says, and she kind of leans to the side, holding her crotch and licking her lips. We crack up. I can so see Daddy doing that, too. During the middle of a game, she says, standing there looking like a pervert, just watching me.
But you noticed me, Daddy says, right?
'Cause you looked like a fool. Then, during halftime, I'm on the bench, and he's behind me talking about, she deepens her voice,
hey, shorty, what's your name? You know you looking good out there. Can I get your number? Dang, Pops, you didn't have any game,
Seven says.
I had game, Daddy argues. Did you get a number that night, though?
Seven says.
I mean, I was working on it.
Did you get her number? I repeat Seven's question.
Nah, he admits.
And we're hollering laughing.
Man, whatever. Hate all y'all want. I eventually did something right.
Yeah, Mama admits, running her fingers through my hair. You did. By the second quarter of Cleveland versus Chicago, we're yelling and shouting at the TV. When LeBron steals the ball, I jump up and bam, he dunks it. In your face, I yell at Mama and Seven. In your face. Daddy gives me a high five and claps. That's what I'm talking about. Mama and Seven roll their eyes. I sit in my game time position, knees pulled in, right arm draped over my head and holding my left ear and my left thumb in my mouth. Don't hate, it works. Cleveland's offense and defense is on point. Let's go, Cavs! Glass shatters. Then pop, 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 pop! Gunshots. Get down, Daddy yells. I'm already down. Sekani comes down next to me, then Mama on top of us, and she wraps her arms around us. Daddy's feet thud toward the front of the house, and the hinges on the front door squeak as it swings open. Tires screech off.
Motherfuck!
Gunshots cut Daddy off. My heart stops. For a split second, I visit a world without my dad, and it doesn't seem like much of a world at all. But his footsteps rush back in.
Y'all aight?
The weight on top of me lifts. Mama says she's okay, and Sakani says he is too. Seven echoes them. Daddy's holding his Glock.
I shot at them fools, he says between heavy breaths. I think I hit a tire. Ain't never seen that car before.
Did they shoot in the house? Mama asks.
Yeah, a couple shots through the front window,
he says.
They threw something too, landed in the living room.
I head for the front.
Star, get back here, Mama calls.
I'm too curious and too hard-headed. Glass shards glisten all over Mama's good sofa. A brick sits in the middle of the floor. Mama calls Uncle Carlos. He gets to our house in half an hour. Daddy hasn't stopped pacing the den, and he hasn't put his Glock down. Seven takes Sekani to bed. Mama has her arm around me on the sectional and won't let go. Some of our neighbors checked in, like Mrs. Pearl and Ms. Jones. Mr. Charles from next door rushed over, holding his own piece. None of them saw who did it. Doesn't matter who did it, it was clearly a message for me. I have this sick feeling, like I got when I ate ice cream and played in hot weather too long when I was younger. Ms. Rosalie said the heat boiled my stomach and that something cool would settle it. Nothing cool can settle this.
Did you call the police? Uncle Carlos asks. Hell no, says Daddy. How I know it wasn't them? Maverick, you still should have called, Uncle Carlos says. This needs to be recorded, and they can send someone to guard the house. Oh, I got somebody to guard the house. Don't worry about that. It definitely ain't gonna be no Crooked Pig who may have been behind this. King Lords could have done this, says Uncle Carlos. Didn't you say King made a veiled threat against Star because of her interview?
I'm not going tomorrow, I say. But I have a better chance of being heard at a Drake concert.
It ain't no damn coincidence that somebody's trying to scare us the night before she testifies to the grand jury, Daddy says. That's some shit your buddies would do.
You'd be surprised at how many of us want justice in this case, says Uncle Carlos. But of course, classic Maverick, every cop is automatically a bad cop.
I'm not going tomorrow, I repeat.
I ain't say every cop is a bad cop, but I ain't gonna stand here like a fool thinking that some of them don't do dirty shit. Hell, they made me lay face down on the sidewalk, and for what? 'Cause they could.
It could have been either one of them, Mama says. Trying to figure out who did it will get us nowhere. The main thing is making sure Star is safe tomorrow.
I said I'm not going,
I shout. They finally hear me. My stomach holds a roiling boil. Yeah, it could have been King Lords, but what if it was the cops? I look at Daddy and remember that moment weeks ago in front of the store. I thought they were gonna kill you, I croak, because of me. He kneels in front of me and sits the Glock beside my feet. He lifts my chin.
Point one of the 10-point program, say it.
My brothers and I learned to recite the Black Panthers 10-point program the same way other kids learned the Pledge of Allegiance. We want freedom, I say. We want the power to determine the destiny of our Black and oppressed communities.
Say it again.
We want freedom. We want the power to determine the destiny of our Black and oppressed communities.
Point seven.
We want an immediate end to police brutality, I say, and the murder of Black people, other people of color, and oppressed people.
Again.
We want an immediate end to police brutality and the murder of Black people, other people of color, and oppressed people.
And what did Brother Malcolm say is our objective?
Seven and I could recite Malcolm X quotes by the time we were 13. Sekani hasn't gotten there yet. Complete freedom, justice, and equality, I say. By any means necessary.
Again.
Complete freedom, justice, and equality. By any means necessary.
So why you gonna be quiet?
Daddy asks. Because the 10-point program didn't work for the Panthers. Huey Newton died a crackhead, and the government crushed the Panthers one by one. By any means necessary didn't keep Brother Malcolm from dying, possibly at the hands of his own people. Intentions always look better on paper than in reality. The reality is, I may not make it to the courthouse in the morning. Two loud knocks at the front door startle us. Daddy straightens up, grabs his Glock, and leaves to answer. He says what's up to somebody, and there's a sound like palm slapping. Then a male voice says,
"You know we got you, Big Mav."
Daddy returns with some tall, wide-shouldered guys dressed in gray and black. It's a lighter gray than what King and his folks wear. It takes a hood-trained eye to notice it and understand. This is a different set of King Lords.
This is Goon.
Daddy points to the shortest one, in front with the ponytails.
Him and his boys gonna provide security for us tonight and tomorrow.
Uncle Carlos folds his arms and gives the King Lords a hard look.
You asked King Lords to guard the house when King Lords may have put us in this position? They don't mess with King, Daddy says. They Cedar Grove King Lords.
Shit. They may as well be GDs then. Sets make all the difference in gangbanging, not colors. The Cedar Grove King Lords have been beefing with King's set, the West Side King Lords, for a while now.
You need us to fall back, Big Mav? Goon asks. Nah, Don't worry about him.